Kevin asked me what I was speaking about tonight, and I said, well, we're in our Proverbs series about reputation, and he wants some songs about reputation. There aren't a lot, but that's a great song, Oh, to be like thee. You know, but there's nothing better that can be said about someone than they are just like Jesus. And so thank you for those songs. Thanks for being here. As you know, we are spending Sunday nights to look at some of the topics in the book of Proverbs, when you can categorize several of them under themes or headings. And we're looking at some of the major ones and talking about them. So I enjoyed last week listening to BJ talking about speech. And your words do matter, don't they? And before that, we talked about good work and diligence. And so tonight we're going to talk about our reputation. Because everyone has a reputation, whether you realize it or not. Can you imagine if babies had a voice in what they were being named? Can you imagine that? You called me what? You say, now, you have no choice in your name. Although I've heard people saying, we're going to let the baby name itself. When it's old enough, it can name itself. Well, that's amazing. But somewhat, does your name determine somewhat how people see you? Because remember in grade school, there is one particular person you really didn't like because they picked on your whatever. And you associated that personality with their name. Isn't that right? So every time you hear that name, I still think, oh, you know. But that's not fair, because then I meet a new person with that name, and it could be the nicest person in the world. But I'm sorry, there's some names you just don't name your children. And such the case is with H names. Have you noticed that? Horace. Hubert. Now, I'm glad Hewlin's not here, because that's a good name. I saw, actually, when I was preparing this lesson, someone named their child hashtag Jameson. Oh. And then Gertrude was a female name I just never did like, and I was making fun of it in the class. That's the first mistake. Because someone, lady, came up to me and said, well, my name is Gertrude. And I go, oh, no, I'm so sorry. But she went by another name, so we would have never known that. All right? So I guess she didn't like it either. But you say, well, I don't know. Names really don't matter. Well, would you name your child Judas? Well, of course not. And I just want to ask you this question. What do you think of when you mention someone's name? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? And whatever that is that comes to your mind instantly is most likely very much part of their reputation. So when you think of Judas, what do you think? What's one word? Traitor or thief. That's right. So you think about Disneyland. Is that a good thought? Yeah. Then on the other hand, you say the word Sodom. Now immediately you have a reputation comes to mind. I don't have to say any more. So words do make a difference. You know, Adolf. Would you name your son Adolf? Adolf Hitler. How about Marilyn? Monroe, does that bring an image to your mind? And then Brett Favre, my wife's going, yes. How about Michael Jackson? Every name carries an image with it, and such is the case of your name. What do people think of when your name is mentioned? There's a value in reputation, and that's what we want to look at when we look at the Proverbs. That there's a great value that is attached to a good name. They take a lifetime to build a reputation, but a moment to destroy it. And it's frustrating when a person portrays one reputation, but when you get to know them, you find out others. Imagine me being late for a meeting, and I didn't get my laundry done, and I forgot to pick up my shirts at the laundry. So I go down, and I search for a laundromat, and I see this one with a big, big sign, 1 hour laundry. So I go in there, man, thank you, here's these shirts. I need them clean, and I'll pick them up in an hour. I says, well, we can't have for those for you until next Wednesday. He says, excuse me, your sign says 1 hour laundry. He says, well, that's just the name of our company, but we take a lot longer than that. What? You would be frustrated with that type of, you know, portraying yourself one way, but actually acting another. But yet, don't people do that all the time? They give off one image, but yet they live another way inside. And when you get to know them, you realize that. Look with me in Proverbs 22, and we'll look at this idea of what and the value of a good name. Because of all the verses in Proverbs, this is the one that speaks the loudest, where we find him saying just simply this: a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. And favor, now that would be favor from others, is a better than silver and gold. In other words, a better choice. If you had a choice on one hand to have silver and gold or the favor of others that they speak well of you, which would you choose? The wise man says it's a good name. Now, we're equating a good name with one's reputation. It's not that your name is good. Oh, that's a nice sounding name. It's the reputation that is attached to one's name. And so we have to define reputation. And Webster simply says it's the common opinion that people have about somebody or something. That's what it is. When you speak someone's name, what opinion comes to their mind? If you were to ask, tell me about Bruce, what would they say? Now, it could be good or it could be positive. We're going to look at the value of a good reputation. Because no matter whether we like it or not, whatever, you know, whoever you are, you have a reputation. And we have to be comfortable with that. Now, someone might say, well, we should be more concerned about what God thinks about us than, you know, other people. Well, that's true, and we're going to come back to that. But your reputation does matter, and it matters to God. I want to look at his two verses before we go any further. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 6, Paul is encouraging the young evangelists to teach the young men, verse 6, to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine and dignified, sound in speech. So your behavior, he's addressing good behavior. In order that the opponent may be put to shame, and get this, having nothing bad to say about us. Now this is put in the negative, but what he's saying is you live in such a way that they can't say anything bad about you. You remove that possibility from our opponents, those people that don't like Christ and don't want to follow Christ. So does behavior matter? Yes, it does. The other one is in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's similar, but it has just a different little spin to it. We're talking about us as being living stones. In verse 11, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. So in other words, it's about behavior. Keep your behavior, verse 12, excellent among the Gentiles. You better worry about how you come across to those that watch you. So that in the things which they slander you as evildoers, see, Christians were being spoken evil of, that they, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them. See, everyone's watching us. And they're speaking evil of Christ and Christianity. But when they watch you, a Christian in practice, a real live Christian, rather than blaspheming God, as they observe them, they're going to glorify God in the day of visitation. So you say, well, I don't think reputation matters, what people think of me. All I care about is what God thinks about me. Well, I'm glad. If you care what God thinks about you, he cares about what others think about you. Let's just be comfortable with that. Reputation does matter. And we'll explain why as we go through this. But when we look at our main verse, Proverbs 22 and verse 21, verse 1, a good name, that's a reputation. It's to be more desired than great wealth. And again, this just seems contradictory. If I could have lots of money to do whatever I want with, or a good reputation, what would you pick? The wise man says, Solomon, pick a good name, a reputation any day. Because it can buy you things that money can't buy. You realize that? It buys trust from others that know you. You can't buy trust with money. It, on a handshake, will get you a contract when you don't have the assets to back up the loan. I remember living in John Day with my brother when we were just, I was much, much younger and wanted to buy my first car. Didn't have enough money. How does an 18-year-old go to a bank and get a loan when he doesn't have a job? But since I was a Hafer and they knew my parents and went to the same credit union, just on my signature, I got a loan. Now, that wasn't necessarily my reputation, but it was my parents. And so a reputation will get you a loan. It'll get you a promotion without an interview. Oh, so-and-so, yeah, I'll hire him right away. You don't even have to be interviewed because they know who you are. Your reputation precedes you. It buys you respect. And it's respect that is gained over a lifetime of behavior. And sadly, it can be destroyed with one act of folly. Now, that's why he says it's so much more to be desired than great wealth. It's a better choice than silver and gold. Now, what's interesting, good behavior is often going to produce wealth. But you're not seeking wealth. You're seeking a good reputation. By that, you often acquire wealth. In other words, you go to work. Yeah, what kind of worker are you going to be? A clock watcher or a diligent worker? We talked about that before. But if you work as though you're serving the Lord, will your bosses notice that? Will they want to promote that kind of person? Oh, of course they will. So I just want to suggest to you that if you are just content and focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's serving God, you can't help have other people notice. They're going to notice your language, your conduct, everything about you. And it will be a positive reception that you'll gain from them. So we're not seeking good reputation just so we can be built up in people's eyes. We're seeking God's pleasure. We want him to be pleased with us. But by doing so, others will also look at us favorably. Can you believe that? Now, the opposite is true. God says, tell the truth. If we're always lying, if we're always deceiving others, making promises that we can't keep or won't keep, not only do we displease God, but others realize, Jack can't be counted on. And so reputation does matter. There's the value. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 said it's better than a good anointment. And Acts chapter 16, it's interesting. They took Timothy, Paul did, with him because he was spoken well of by all men. Do you realize that? And then 1 Timothy chapter 3, we realize that for a man who wants to be an elder, he has to have the good reputation of those in the church, outside the church. I don't know if anyone's ever surveyed those outside the church when we consider to promote someone to an elder. I guess you would only hear the bad things, but maybe if you didn't even do a question or a survey, you would never know. But that's how important it is to God. So how do you get one, and where does it come from? I want you to notice a reputation comes from others and not self. You say, well, what? I thought you gain your own reputation by doing the right things. Well, that's true. But what we're saying here is you don't pronounce yourself to be great. You don't self-proclaim, hey, I'm the best thing that's happened to you yet. Right? You, by your good works, let them speak for you, and others will now speak about you positively. Do you understand what we're saying? Now, there's several scriptures that talk about that out of Proverbs. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty. Man, you can count on me. I'm there for you. I'll die for you. But the question is, who could really find a trustworthy man? A lot of people claim devotion to Christ. Isn't that what the apostles did? Jesus said, you're all going to deny me. And Peter said, nope, not me. Even if they all do, I'll even die with you. And they all vowed the same thing. But when it came down to it, we know they all ran. It's one thing to say what you are. It's another thing to back it up. So we also see in chapter 25 and verse 27. This is a curious proverb. It's good not to eat much honey. Now, who's the only person that can say that? Where does that come from? Someone that's what? Eating a lot of honey. Well, what happens when you eat a lot of honey? it gets sickening, it can sour your stomach, and it just, it's not good. Honey's good, but too much of it is not good. I like it into fudge. I used to eat lots of fudge when you're younger, but now it's just a little piece. That's all I can take. It's really good, but too much fudge will just make you sick. Likewise, nor is it glory to search out one's own glory. Now, what's he mean? The person that's always seeking his own glory just to be liked by men, it just doesn't go down very well. Have you ever met someone like that? All they talk about is themselves and how good they are and what they do and what they've done. And we live in a narcissistic world, I know, but this has been a problem throughout the generations that some people, maybe it's because of insecurity, I don't know. But this self-promotion where they always have to tell you how good they are, how many fish they caught, whatever it was. Oh, sorry, I wasn't talking about you because you were telling me about fish you caught. I just thought of that. You have to be careful what you say. People say, he was talking about me. No, I wasn't, Dave. Boy, my reputation is going to be ruined after this lesson. Everything you say comes back to haunt you one way or the other if you don't speak correctly, right? Now, when you look at this, it's all about trust. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another praise you. Now, why would they do that? Just your actions. Over time, they've watched you. They've observed you. And over time, they realize, here's someone I can count on. Here's one I can trust. And so they're going to praise you, and don't let it come from your own mouth. Not only is it because it's self-promotion, it just doesn't sound right, isn't it? Does it? To be so egotistical, you have to self-promote. A stranger, let it be a stranger, doesn't even know you, and not your own lips. Those are wise proverbs, aren't they? And then the other ones in chapter 31, verse 30, speaking of the worthy woman. It's interesting, she didn't have to glorify herself. Her family will do it for her. Her children rise up and they speak well of her. We find in her husband that he praises her. So you don't have to worry about it. If you're walking uprightly and trying to seek God, you will have people speaking well of you. Now, I want to look at, that guy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. It's interesting. I'm not going to go there. Luke chapter 7, there's a man that was asking to be healed, and the Jews said, this man is spoken well of. He's done great things. He's worthy of your miraculous power. It's interesting. In Acts 22, I learned something about Ananias I kind of failed to notice. He was the one sent to Paul. He didn't want to go at first. And when Paul's retelling his story after he saw Jesus on the road, and he said, Ananias came to me. He says, one well spoken of by all the Jews. It's like, wow, God picked Ananias for a certain reason. And God wouldn't have mentioned that he's well spoken of by all the Jews unless that was important for you and me to know. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just an arbitrary person. Ananias was chosen because of his reputation. Now, another person is in Romans 16, verse 19. He's speaking about the whole church, that your faith and obedience has spread out all over the churches. So not only does an individual have a reputation, this church has a reputation. Every church has a reputation. And it's either good or it's bad. And it's all based on what we do, not what we say. So very interesting. There's another one like that. Remember Cornelius? I was thinking of him too. When the servants went to Peter's house and said, we were sent divinely, for you, because our master, or Cornelius, speaking of him, has been well spoken of by all. He had a reputation, even though he was a Gentile. Now, this is very important. Don't let what is said go to your head. Right? Because that makes a big head. And no one likes a big head, do they? Right? Because I just want you to feel comfortable that when you do what is right and you're faithful to God, people will notice and they'll talk about you. That's good. Because you don't want them talking bad things about you. Now, nor should we, because that's gossip. But people will, right? Especially in the world. They'll talk about you when you're not doing that which is right. But they're also going to talk about you when you're doing what is correct, okay? And we can't let what they say go to our head. Because then we'll start doing things to seek approval of others rather than God. Because if that starts infecting our mindset, like, man, this feels good, pretty soon everything you say and do will be geared just to get approval from others. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because now they are masters of you, right? Because you're seeking your identity, your self-worth is based on what others say. Our self-worth and our identity comes from Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him alone. Amen. Knowing that we're children of the Father, and whether we're with Him or absent from Him, we make it as our ambition to be pleasing to Him. That's all we care about. The rest just comes, and it's gravy on top of it. So be very, very careful. Chapter 27, the crucible is for silver. What's a crucible? They would pour molten silver in. You know, it'd be a vessel often made out of stone that wouldn't burn up, so you could put molten metal in it. It's for silver and the furnace for gold. Each person is tested by the praise according to him. Isn't that interesting? When you get praise from anyone, that's a test. What are you going to do with it? Where are you going to file it in your brain? Thank you, Lord, for giving me the time and the opportunity and the ability to bless others. Or are you going to take it like, yeah, thank you for finally noticing I'm all that, right? That's the danger. It's a test. Every time you get a bit of praise, if you self-absorb it and don't reflect it to God, we've been set up by Satan. All right? Now, that's why he says in chapter 12, better is he who is lightly esteemed, I like this one, and has a servant, than he who honors himself and lacks bread. I had to think about this one for a while, and that's why I like it, because I guess it makes you think. Better is the guy who no one knows anything about him. So they mention, you know, oh, Schaefer, what do you, I don't know, Schaefer's just Schaefer, I don't know. But secretly, he has so much wealth and has done so well, he has a servant, right? People don't know it. Better is that guy, Paul, than the fellow that tells everyone how great and wonderful he is, but he goes home, doesn't even have bread to eat. He's poor. It's all just talk, isn't it? So don't let it go to your head, what is said. Let your praise and glory come from God that really matters. So with that being said, a reputation is earned. It's given to you by others, but it's earned by yourself. Do you understand? We're not contradicting ourselves here. It's earned by what I do, how I live my life on this earth. People will speak well of me because of that. I remember when I had a job with the state forestry, some of the guys had nicknames. Does that happen a lot at different jobs? They give people nicknames, especially on athletic teams. They called me Flash. Yeah, right. And people had, you're laughing. I'm not that slow. I used to be really quick. You see, now I'm self-proclaiming. All right. I'm embarrassed because I was so slow and clumsy. My dad said, no sense being a clumsy if you can't show it, and that was me. But there was people that would say, I want a nickname, and they would coin their own nickname. Does that not fly? Like, you know, I'm going to call myself, what would it be? You know, I'm Spider-Man, you know, like, what? Anything you say about yourself just doesn't come across right, does it? So don't worry about your own reputation. People give you a nickname if it's deserving. You just worry about being faithful. You worry about pleasing God, and people will speak well of you. Now, let me just give you an example. When I mention the word, and I'm going to give you the name of someone here, what's the first word that comes to your mind? And I need a response. Roy Simmons. Servant. Tootsie Rolls. Is he always smiling and happy? Now, did he proclaim that? I'm the Tootsie Roll Man. I'm the happy man. We know it because he's earned it, hasn't he? Now that's what he's saying here, Proverbs chapter 11. The integrity of the upright will guide them. It starts with being righteous. If you are more concerned about what God thinks about you, you will always make right choices because you don't want to cause people to speak evil of God. You're always going to do what is right. I'm not worried about what you think. I'm worried about what God thinks. So even though it might be the expedient thing in the world's eye to lie, I'm going to tell the truth, even though it gets me in trouble in the world. Because I want God's favor. And when you do that time after time, that integrity of heart will guide you to make the right choices. And over a while, people say, man, that guy does the right thing, or that lady does the right thing, no matter if it helps them on this world or not. They're always, you can count on them. They got some integrity to them. Another text is, the righteous guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. Have you ever heard something terrible about someone that you really thought well of? And it's shocking, but you think, wait a second, no, I don't believe this. And you're not going to accept until you talk to them personally. What guards them from you accepting this slanderous report about them? What is it that guards them? It's their righteousness. It's their reputation. And you hear, you go, I will not believe that until I talk to him myself. And more often than not, it is slanderous. It's a lie. Your righteousness will guard you from making bad mistakes. It'll guard you from people speaking evil against you, from people, your good friends, what they think about you. Does that make sense? And so think about that. It starts with righteousness. I want to please God, and I want to please him more than anything. That's my only sole concern. And I know that if I trust him and do what he wants me to do, others, people will appreciate that as well. That's okay. I'm not seeking their approval. I'm seeking God's, but I accept it when it comes. 1 Corinthians says, it's not he who commends himself that makes him commended. It's only when our commendation comes from God. So when we look at these things, the last point I want you to make is, watch out for these landmines that are life that'll just blow up your life. BJ, when he was doing his study in the first 9 chapters, how many acts does it take to totally destroy your reputation? When he's talking about an adulterous woman, he said, you know, stolen bread is sweet, but it'll just destroy the rest of your life. It was Moses. Just one time, he struck the rock rather than just speaking to it. Didn't get in the land of Canaan, did he? Just one time, David lingered too far on the rooftop, didn't he? His life was turned upside down, lost his own son, and just it was misery after that. It just takes one act of foolishness, of folly, to totally blow up your life. And that reputation that you have spent so much time building, you say, well, it's not fair. You know, one act for years of, this is the way it is. That's why it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, dead flies make a perfumer oil stink. So what? What? Now, when you didn't take showers and you didn't have underarm deodorant, what would you use? Perfume. And how many flies does it take to contaminate that whole jar of perfume so no longer does it make you smell good? It stinks. He says one fly. Now, where did this proverb come from? A day where they didn't have refrigeration and didn't have all the preservatives, and they had this nice, valuable perfume, and it was contaminated by one dead fly. That's all it took. So it doesn't mean a lot to us because we can't relate to them, but like, oh, no, my perfume, it stinks. And you got to throw it out. Now, from that proverb comes the second part. So a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. Barbara Morris told the story in VBS. I hope I get it right. One of her friends, grandchildren, whatever, their friends were asking the dad, we want to go to this movie. And the dad said, no. Well, why not? You know, well, it's got bad language. Well, Dad, it's not that much. There's not very much at all. And afterwards, anyway, all our other friends are going. He said, no, you're not going. They're all sad and upset. The next day, they come home after school. He said, hey, how you doing? I got some warm cookies that I just made, it's come out of heaven, the oven, heaven. They were cookies from heaven. But help yourself. Oh, by the way, before you eat one, and Barbara's cute, she says, I just put a little bit of poop in each one. She said poop too. I said, don't worry, because it's just a little, and a little doesn't matter. Do you think they would eat any of those cookies? No. And that's what it's talking about here. So, well, a little foolishness won't hurt. I just want to spread, you know, sow my oats. Don't we say that growing up? No. One act can be so devastating, it's almost sometimes impossible to recover from it. So, Benjamin Franklin said this, it takes many good deeds to build a good reputation and only one bad one to lose it. Do you remember who, from history classes, the test, shot Abraham Lincoln? Booth, right? So when he was jumping on the stage to do so, he actually caught his foot caught and he broke his leg. And so afterwards, he escaped and he went to a doctor named Howard Mudd. Maybe it was an H word. The doctor said he didn't recognize who he was, so he healed him, and the guy escaped. Later, the federal courts said you knew who he was, and they prosecuted him as an accessory to the murder after the fact. And he went to prison for it. And so now, anytime you get in trouble, you know what people say? Your name is Mud. Where did that phrase come from? Now you know. Because one man, a doctor, a well-known, respected person in their day, had a reputation, but one act at the wrong time, and now everyone, when you get in trouble, your name is Mud. And they're using his name in vain like that. Now, the last verse I'll share with you is in Proverbs chapter. Let me look. Proverbs. Glasses. Proverbs chapter 10, I was right, verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The memory of the righteous upon your death, your name, you're going to have a memory attached to it. The righteous, whenever they speak your name, they're going to speak well of it, blessed. But the name of the wicked, it'll just rot. People speak evil of it. And I just want to suggest your writing, your epitaph, your obituary, what is going to be said at your funeral right now. Aren't we? What is going to be said, all those nice words or no words at all, are being written by our behavior in our life right on this earth right now. And we, to a large part, can dictate what's going to be said at our funeral by how we choose to live right now. So just the last few thoughts here, because reputation is important. I wish we had time to just have an exercise just to use one word descriptions of different things that you could use to describe people, like faithful, liar, upstanding, late, reliable, confused. You know, everyone has a reputation. You have those words, and when you speak someone's name, those things come to your mind, like can't depend on them. Like, wow. You know what it was said about, if you want to get a job done, who do you find? Someone that's really busy already. That's interesting. Why is that? Because that person has a reputation of being diligent, and if you give them a job to do it, and they'll take on more than they're supposed to. But isn't that true to a large extent? They have that reputation. And so what is being said about you, and what is being said about me? If you are really brave, this would be a good exercise. Ask 5 people that you trust to write a paragraph, maybe just one word descriptions of you, and give it to you anonymously. In other words, you'd mix them all up, you wouldn't know who they came from, but it was one of those 5. Now, why would I say anonymously? Because I want you to stay friends with them. Because if they're honest friends, And BJ's going to talk about that in one of our studies in Proverbs. They're going to tell you exactly the way it is. And that's a friend that's closer than a brother, right? They'll tell you honestly where you fall short and honestly where you're excelling. And every now and then we need to hear that, don't we? And you have to be very careful. It can be devastating. But it's best to hear it now than before we stand before Jesus Christ. So what about a person that wants to build a good reputation or maybe rebuild theirs? Just 6 points real quickly. First of all, take ownership of your mistakes. As long as you're making excuses or blaming others, everyone's just going to look at you as, well, they never learned anything. Secondly, correct your mistakes when possible. When you can go to people and correct them or you correct the situation. Remember the tax man, that wee little guy? He repented. What was he willing to do? Zacchaeus. Repay things 4 times. He was willing to rebuild his reputation at any cost. Do whatever it takes and have that kind of character. Thirdly, concern yourself first and foremost with pleasing God. And I can't emphasize that enough. If you're seeking the approval of men, you've already ruined your reputation. You can be bought, you can be bribed, you can be used, you can be abused. But if you're seeking God's approval, you could care less what men do to you, all right? Okay, so fourthly, practice righteousness in all things. It starts with you being right before God. You be a hard worker, you be a good spouse, you could be a good parent, you be a good child. You obey the speed laws, even though when you're late, you bless those that curse you, you spend time helping others, you regard others more important, you always tell the truth, always tell the truth. You have a soft answer to an angry man. In every aspect of your life, what you watch, what you read, what you say, you practice righteousness everywhere. Everywhere. So that's hard. Well, that's what God's calling us to do, to be pleasing Him. And you can't help but be noticed if you're that kind of person. And then get new friends sometimes. Is that important? You want to build a new reputation or build a reputation? Get new friends. Evil companions. Don't be deceived. Corrupt good morals. Hang around the right people so they can mentor you and teach you how to live rightly, how to be faithful, how to be hard workers, how to have fun without being worldly. And people will notice. And finally, find a confidant and start serving others. I think that's the one thing that makes us stand out more than others is when we stop being a me person, I, and it's now about you. We're no longer a taker, we're a giver. And I speak in terms of you and not self. That was Jesus, wasn't it? So those things might help you. They're simple, but it's not hard being a Christian. When we're all said and done, I just got to be patient. There's a saying that we use that proven behavior over time is how you build trust in people's lives. Proven behavior over a long time, repeated over and over and over, people will start speaking well of you. Paul rebuilt his reputation, didn't he? And so will you. If you're with us, you realize, wow, I just want to please God. That's all that matters. I want to be on that path because I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we can help you in any way whatsoever, won't you come as we sing just the first verse of the song that he selected.